I know you must have been enjoying it. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Bibles now. We still have a little time for that. Thank God. And you know, it's good to worship the Lord. It's wonderful to do that. We need to do that. And it's refreshing to get in the presence of the Lord. I firmly and fully believe that He is right here with us right now. You know, we sang that song earlier, Never Alone. He promised never to leave us alone. And that's so true. He said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, that was one of the last things Jesus told His disciples before He left this world and ascended into heaven. Now, of course, we know that He's still in this world, but He's in this world in the form of a spirit. He gives us that spirit, the precious Holy Ghost. But we can be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. That's why I'm titling this message today, Present in the Presence of the Lord. Present in the Presence of the Lord. I will explain that title in just a moment, but before we do that, I'm going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer this day, thanking Thee for Thy precious word, and we thank Thee for Thy promises. We thank Thee for Thy plan of salvation. We thank Thee for Thy gifts that Thou hast bestowed upon Thy people. We thank Thee that we can look upon Thy word and learn of Thee and Thy mercy and Thy grace toward all Thy people. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help each and every one of us to reach out in faith. Let us be firmly focused on Thee this morning. Let there be no hindrances here, but give us clarity of mind as we turn our attention and our focus to Thee. We pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that Thou art sovereign. There is none greater than Thee. Thou art almighty God, and there is no name greater than that mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 28 this morning. Genesis chapter 28. I'm calling this message, Present in the Presence of the Lord. And the reason I'm doing that is because in order to really feel the presence of God, in order to really feel the Holy Ghost, His Spirit working in His people, you have to be in the present moment. And of course, we know that we live in a world that's filled with turmoil right now. And of course, we tend to look back with longing sometimes at the past because things seemed like they were so much better. And we know that the world is getting worse. The scriptures tell us that. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I think that's one of the reasons when we look back at things, it seems like they were so much better. But you can't become too fixated on the past either. And so, in fact, some people, they feel such strong nostalgia that it actually becomes painful because you want to go back to something that you can never go back to. The past has happened, and that is done. And then other times, people tend to worry about the future, especially in these uncertain times that we live in right now. People wonder what's going to happen. They wonder about this pandemic. Will it ever end? But you know what? In order to truly worship God, you have to be in the present with Him. Turn your mind upon Him. Focus on Him. That's why this morning I don't want you to think about the past. I don't want you to think about the future. I don't want you to worry about COVID or anything China's doing or anything like that. I don't want you to worry about the economy. I don't want you to worry about inflation. I don't want you to even think about any of those things as we look upon God's word here this morning. Think about Him. Be present with the Lord here today. Present in the presence of the Lord because He is here right now. And you could worry till the cows come home, but it's not going to do any good. remember, the Lord is with us, and we truly are never alone. That's why we're going to start in Genesis chapter 28 this morning. Now, this tells the story of a man named Jacob. He was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, brother of Esau. And a lot, all of a sudden, was happening in his life. His mom had hatched a scheme for Jacob to take the blessing that would have been reserved for his brother Esau, Esau being slightly older. They were twins, not identical, of course. Esau was a very hairy man. He had red hair, too. Esau means red, in case you didn't know that. Jacob was smooth. So they weren't identical twins, but Esau was a little older, and as such, he should have had the birthright. But one of the reasons God allowed Esau to lose that birthright was because he sold it to Jacob for a pot of porridge. He was hungry one day, thought he was going to die. Well, he didn't, and I don't think he would have. I'm sure there are plenty of other people around who could have helped him. He didn't have to sell his birthright. And because he did that, I believe that's why God allowed him to lose it. Now, they hatched a scheme. Isaac was old. He had lost his vision. He couldn't see. Rebekah loved Jacob more than Esau, so she wanted Jacob to get the blessing that would have been reserved for the firstborn. So she had him put on Esau's clothes, and she put animal skins all over him so he would feel hairy. And he went in and he brought meat to his father, Isaac, and claimed that he was his brother Esau. And as such, he received the blessing. And when Esau came in, there was nothing left really for him. He got a little blessing, but not what he would have gotten. And as such, Esau was furious with Jacob. In fact, his plan was, as soon as my dad dies, I'm going to kill my brother. That was his plan. And it's not one of those things where someone says, oh, I'm going to kill you, and not really mean it. I believe that Esau fully intended to kill his brother after his father passed away. But God would watch over him. Nevertheless, this would have been a very difficult time in his life. He didn't know what was going to happen exactly. And to make things even more uncertain, he had been told to go find a wife. Now that's stressful too. And in fact, he was on his way to go find a wife when this story begins here in Genesis chapter 28. He's doing two things, really. He's fleeing from his brother, and he's also gone to find a wife. Chapter 28 in Genesis tells us, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And there's a reason for that. The Canaanites were very wicked and evil people. And I know sometimes people get upset that God allowed the Israelites to go in and wipe out all these Canaanite tribes. They say, well, that's not fair. But to that, I always say, well, people don't complain about the fact that the Nazis were wiped out. And they probably wouldn't complain too much if Al-Qaeda was knocked out, or ISIS, or the Taliban. These people were worse than all of them, the Canaanites. And that is why Isaac did not want his son to marry a Canaanite woman. Verse 2 tells us, "Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughter of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." You know, God made a promise to Abraham, and that promise was passed on to Isaac, Abraham's son. And Isaac passed it on to Jacob. Jacob knew of this promise, but even when you know the promises of God, sometimes you still struggle. We know God promised to be with us in this day and age, and sometimes we still struggle. Sometimes we struggle to believe that he will help us. We know that he can. I think we all know that. But knowing he can help you and believing that he will are two different things. He will help us if we truly ask and believe on him in all sincerity. He is able to deliver us one way or the other, and sometimes his way isn't the way we're expecting either. So, this promise was passed on. When God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. They were going to be a great people. Therefore, Jacob should have realized, my brother can't kill me, at least not before I've had children, because my family is going to continue and grow. Verse 5, and Israel sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. You know, Esau, there was just something not right in his heart and in his mind and in his head. You know, he thought, well, my mom and dad don't like my wife. So what did he do? He went and got another one. Added another one on. Well, maybe this will fix it. It didn't. But I tell you what, you know, in the Old Testament, anytime you had a situation where a man had multiple wives, it always caused problems. Every time, and you can kind of see why. Because there'd be a lot of jealousy and rivalry going on. And you have to think that the man would be miserable with all of that fighting and squawking all the time. And yes, they did fight, and they did squawk. You can read all about it. It happened time and time again. God's ideal is one man, one woman. And it can't be a man and a man. It can't be a woman and a woman. No matter what they say over at the Lutheran church there. Verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, I would imagine he didn't put his head directly on these stones. I imagine he probably put something padded over them and used that as a pillow. But, you know, I can't help but imagine Jacob here, so uncertain of everything that was about to happen. I'm sure that his mind was racing. He was probably going a million different places. He was probably thinking about everything that had just happened with his brother, with his mother, with his father. He was probably frightened and worried about what his brother might do to him if he ever found him. And at the same time, he probably had anxiety thinking about the future. Here he was going to try to find a wife. He didn't know what his wife would be like. He didn't really know anything. There was so much uncertainty in his life. So I'm sure he was thinking about all sorts of things. Thinking about the past and also thinking about the future. But what he didn't realize right there in the present, God was with him right there in the moment. God was right there. You see, you could become so fixated on the past and on the future that you don't even perceive the presence of the Lord. We're going to see what happened here at Jacob as we continue on. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Oh, this must have been a marvelous dream. Have you ever had a dream from the Lord? There's nothing else like it. I've had a few. People might wonder, well, how do you know it was a dream from the Lord? Believe me, it's different. It's unlike any other dream that you'll ever have. Dreams are often kind of jarbled and mixed up and a mixture of what's happening in your mind and things that happened to you recently and the people you've encountered. In fact, it's been said, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it's been said that every person you see in your dream is someone that you've encountered in real life. I don't know if that's true. It's just something I've heard. But dreams are usually pretty weird. I've had some weird ones too. But the ones from the Lord were crystal clear. And often I struggle to remember my dreams, but when the Lord gives me a dream, I remember it. And it stays with me. It's different. You almost have to experience it to fully understand what I mean, and maybe you will. Because God does give people dreams. And here, he's giving one to Jacob. And it must have been a wondrous dream because there he was in his dream. He saw a ladder. It reached to heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it, showing that not only is God with us, but his angels are with us too. God, in this dream, literally opened heaven's door to Jacob so he could get a glimpse of this glory. Verse 13, and behold, the door stood above it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. You know, Abraham had been given a promise, and that promise had been passed on to Isaac. Jacob had heard of it, but now God himself was telling him of this promise. You are going to flourish. You are going to be fruitful. You are going to multiply. You're going to have a land, a beautiful land. All of these promises were given to God's people. And you know, that's still true for God's people today, except that beautiful land that we're given isn't here on this earth. We do have a promised land, and we will get there one day, but it is not on this earth. Verse 14, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And you know what? All families of the earth were blessed because Jesus Christ came forth from that seed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. When he makes a promise, he will keep it. He does what he says he will do every time. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Watch this now. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. The Lord was there the entire time, but he didn't know it. I'm sure, like I said, I think his mind was probably going in a million different places, but he had to be there in the present to experience the presence of the Lord. He's always there with us. He's here right now. And when you leave here, he'll be with you. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, which is something they would have done when they're anointing a new altar, pouring oil upon it, in case you're wondering why he did that. Verse 19, and he called the name of that place Beth-El, which means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So here he is, suddenly cognizant of the fact that the Lord was right there with him, and he made this vow to the Lord. But that didn't happen and couldn't happen until that realization struck him. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He had to come to that realization, and surely the Lord is in this place right now. Now I want to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be starting with verse 21 this morning. Of course, this is a wonderful chapter. We don't have time to do the entire thing today, but Jesus had just healed a man that was infested with demons, the man of the Gadarenes. And here at this point, he had just crossed back over the sea, and he was walking along. Someone came to him needing help. If you need help, the best thing you can do is go to the Lord Jesus. Mark 5, verse 21 tells us, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. That is great faith that Jairus had. And here he's petitioning the Lord Jesus. I know she'll live. I know she'll live, even if you come and touch her. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. There are a lot of people who were following Jesus. They thought, well, maybe we'll see a miracle here. They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do in the future for someone else. They wanted to see what he could do for someone else. But you know what? There was a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had not stopped bleeding for 12 years. And she had this faith in her heart. She said, I want to see what Jesus Christ can do for me right now in the present. She wasn't curious about what he was going to do for someone else. She wanted to see what Jesus Christ could do for her. So there she was at that present time, in the presence of the Lord, with an expectation that a miracle was about to happen. Verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's actually relatable. That still can be a problem nowadays. Doctors might poke and prod you and try this treatment and that treatment, a variety of different things, and you don't get any better. That's because they are not little God men. They're doctors. They do the best they can, but sometimes they have trouble figuring things out, and quite often they have trouble figuring things out. But we know the one who knows all things. We know the one who made us. We know the one who can fix us. Verse 27, When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She knew Jesus was the one who could help her. She knew this was her moment. This was the moment she had been waiting for. This was the moment she had longed for. This was her opportunity to reach out and to touch the Lord. And she didn't know if she'd ever have another one. And you know what? We too can reach out and touch the Lord right now. We have that opportunity. We can be present in the presence of the Lord right now. We can reach out and touch Him because we don't know if we'll ever have another opportunity to do it. But thankfully you can right now. Those who are here in this building and those who are listening online, you can reach out to the Lord right now in this present moment. Now is your opportunity to reach out and touch the hem of His garment. Verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Being a woman, she would have known immediately that she had been healed. And she was, because God is merciful. She reached out in faith in that present moment, and that made all the difference. She wasn't just curious about what He was going to do for others. She knew that God had something for her. She knew that Jesus had something for her. Everybody else was following. What's He going to do? What's He going to do? What's He going to do? Watching to see. But she took action. And because she was there with Jesus at that present moment, she received her miracle. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? There were people all over the place. There were people bumping into Jesus. And a lot of people will do that. They'll bump into Jesus and never take the time to get to know Him. I tell you what, to get to know the Lord Jesus, you have to be present with Him. In the presence. In the moment. Without looking to the future or looking to the past, you have to be with Him in the present. That's how you get to know the Lord. That's how you can receive His miracles. Who touched me? And verse 32 tells us, and He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. You see, Jesus knows the difference between someone bumping into Him as just a casual curiosity and when people reach out in faith. Because there is virtue that flows from the Lamb of God. There is a healing touch that flows from the Lamb of God. There is power in that touch. And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. What was His response? And He was so kind. He was so willing, always ready and willing to help those who sought it. He was so kind. He wasn't upset with her, you know, that she reached out and touched Him. In fact, He was very pleased with her. So pleased, in fact, that He called her something very special. And He said unto her, daughter. He called her daughter. Jesus Christ called this woman His daughter. And there is nothing better than being a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And you know what? This woman was healed, and so was Jairus' daughter. By the time Jesus got there, she had passed. But she wasn't really gone. In fact, Jesus told everyone there, she's sleeping. And they all laughed. But Jesus took His disciples in there, His inner circle, Peter, James, and John. and the parents of that child, and he lifted her up from the dead, because that is what our God is able to do. You see, when you're in the present with the Lord, present in the presence of the Lord, that's when you can not only feel his touch, but you can receive his miracles. So many people are oblivious to the fact that the Lord is even here. There are people walking around all over the place who do not perceive his presence. In fact, let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now this is the correct translation of this verse. The Jehovah's Witnesses did not get it right. In their version it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No, Jesus Christ is God. And we know that it's talking about Jesus Christ here, because further on in this chapter, it's going to tell us that very thing. Let's see what happens here. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yes, Jesus Christ is the creator. The scriptures tell us that in multiple places. He is the creator of this universe. Nothing was made without him. All things were made by him and for him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He had a special job to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, so that people's hearts should be turned toward God, and they would be ready to receive the Messiah. But sadly, not everyone did. In fact, the majority did not. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the world, generally speaking today, still doesn't know him. But we do. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came, there he was, God Almighty, God manifest in the flesh, wearing that human body. He came among his people. He came in a form that people could understand. He came as the mediator between God and man, the go-between, so that we might receive salvation on the cross of Calvary. But people all around him were oblivious. They knew he was a miracle worker. They knew he was a great speaker. They knew he was a prophet. But to some, that's all he was. To those select few who had been given the spirit of discernment, they understood that this was the Messiah, the one they had waited for, the one who was promised. You see, there were people walking around all over the place without realizing that the Lord was in that place. They knew it not. But some people did have that understanding. Some people did have that comprehension. In fact, it tells us in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe on his name, if you receive him, he will make you his child. I know it says sons of God, but The Bible is written in the masculine gender that applies to women too. You can be the son or the daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God there were those who had that perception, who were with him in that present moment, at that present time, so that they could perceive the presence of the Lord. Yes, we need to make sure we spend time in the present with the Lord. It's good to pray. And of course, it's good to sing. It's good to study the Word of God. When you're doing those things, try not to think about what you're going to do later. Instead, enjoy the moment being in his presence, because we are his children. I want to go to one final place in Scripture before we close. Psalm 100. It's a very, very short psalm, so this won't take very long. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100. Of course, if we did Psalm 119, we'd be here all day. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 1 tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You see that? Come before his presence. Be with him in the moment. Worship him in the moment. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So get in the presence of the Lord. Spend time with him. Don't let the past drag you back, and don't let the future strain your mind and fill you with anxiety, but rather take the time to be present in the presence of the Lord, because you have to be if you're really, truly going to worship him. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done. We thank thee that we can put our trust in thee, that we can be with thee in the present time, that we can have our moments with thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to stay firmly focused on thee as we go forward. Help us, O God, to spend time with thee each and every day. We ask, Lord, that this world would not drag us down, but we pray, Lord, that we'd all be strengthened with might from above, so that we may seek thee and praise thee each and every day. Bless thy people, those who are here in this building and those who are listening online, all thy people throughout this world. We ask, O God, that thou would strengthen thy people and bless them and help us to walk with thee for the entirety of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And we have a request from Brian and Vicki, number 112 in the Melodies of Praise hymnal. And it actually seems quite appropriate considering the message we just had. 112, I know who holds tomorrow. Number 112. Thank you.
Thank you.